the quarterback situation, what's going on with the fans, and what happened, kind of starting to turn the page on what happened on Sunday. And you got to start looking forward to the future and see what they're going to do. So let's bring in probably one of my favorite guests of all time right now in our 13 years. I love talking to him. More than that, I love his passion for the game of football, and I love talking to this guy. So we're going to bring him in. He's Greg Williams, former interim and defensive coordinator for your Cleveland Browns, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can always catch him on Get Some with Greg and Blake on Big Play. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hey, fellas. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I think it's fantastic what you guys do for the fans.
Well, thank you, Coach. All right, so let's talk Cleveland Browns. Let me say those two words. And where they are right now, I'm just curious, your thoughts on the state of the franchise right now.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of things go on here in this next week. Now, with, you know, whatever we decide to do, whatever they decide to do with, you know, their starting quarterback, and then they're going to have to make sure that the offense is fitting him, you know, now that Deshaun is not able to play and to go week to week. So, it'll be interesting. I think it'd be great for Kevin to go back to what, you know, he was doing before and what he did last year in that interim part with what he had when Joe Flacco came in. And I think that Jameis, and who, if it's DTR or whoever it is, but I'm pulling for Jameis. I've always pulled for him, and I think he can go and do it. And I think we saw that at the end of the game. I think Jim Schwartz is doing, you know, lights out on defense, and then special teams has been really good, but, you know, we had a few, you know, mess ups, you know, this last week, but that's part of the game, and I know they're going to get those corrected, but the big thing is getting this offense rolling, and we've got to get some points on the board.
What were they trying to do with Deshaun before he got hurt? I think to the average fan, you saw the success they had with Flacco last year, and then all of a sudden everything went backwards. Is it on the offensive line, and what were they trying to do with Deshaun that just wasn't working?
Well, the big thing was is that, you know, that they were going to be in some form of a spread offense, some form of a gun offense that was more acclimated to what he had done, you know, at the Texans and also what he had done at Clemson. And, you know, and I think the world of Ken Dorsey, too. I think he does a very, very good job with where he's been and how he's coached. And they were morphing things into things that he could do. But for whatever reason, if there's a lot of things on Deshaun's mind or whatever, you know, I saw and I witnessed, you know, coaching against him and going against him for a lot of years early in his career. You know, I saw him, you know, be a lot slower in his processing, a lot slower in his pass releases and doing the things that needed to be done. And, you know, I didn't see enough out of me. I didn't see enough of him of the command of running the offense, meaning that, hey, when you see two guys in motion, stop them both. That's your job as the quarterback. You know, we're having too many pre-snap penalties on alignments, errors, and two guys in motion and all that kind of stuff. Well, the quarterback controls that. You know, you're the coach on the field. On game day, the quarterback is the coach of the offense. And then when he comes over to the sideline, we work together as a staff. We work together on making sure we're doing that. And I think Jameis can do that, and I'm anxious to see that. You know, hopefully he'll be the guy coming up this next week.
Greg, if you're the Browns right now and you're looking at Deshaun Watson, what are you thinking long term? Yesterday, Kevin was noncommittal, and we can give him the benefit of the doubt because he said, hey, it just happened, and, you know, we're worried about him and his health. But he also didn't say he was the starting quarterback moving forward. Would you think that he is your starting quarterback moving forward, or would you be looking for a way to somehow move on?
Well, the big thing right now is that, you know, it's pretty quick. You know, we don't know how long it's going to take, but, you know, he's still relatively young, but he's had some significant injuries, and the body is saying maybe it's time to slow down. Maybe it's time that I no longer play this game for whatever reason. And whenever you have non-contact injuries, your body is telling you something. Are you listening? Are we listening as the decision makers? Are we witnessing and seeing that, you know, we got to make sure that we have a quarterback for the future, that we are doing things right? And I don't know right now that Deshaun is that guy, in my personal opinion, just because of what I've seen from the injuries part of it, and then what I've seen from just the playing and the production part of it.
Greg, help us be in Kevin Stefanski's shoes right now. Like, what's going on there in the coach's spot? Right? You got people questioning whether, you know, Deshaun's problems were based on him or vice versa. And you've also got the fact that you lost an offensive line coach that was very, very good. And now all of a sudden the offensive line doesn't look very good. Put us in Kevin's shoes and tell us what he's thinking about these moves and how much power does he actually have in some situations and not in others.
Well, yeah, I will tell you this, is I think Kevin's a really good coach, and we all have different personalities. We all have different methods of how we go about coaching and getting young men to be the best that they can be. I think he's a very good coach, and I think that is substantiated with, you know, the two-time coach of the year that he's done. I think he's done a very good job with that. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the contract situations are. I don't know what the things are in house there as far as who has final say. It's always the owner that has final say, but as far as the communication between him and the general manager, who has final say, that was one of the things that when I was still here, is that in order for me to stay, that in order for me to want to stay, as I had to have final say, I was going to work with the general manager and do everything together. I think John Dorsey is a really good guy. I think the world of Andrew Berry too. But after 40, you know, years in the National Football League, I'm going to want final say, you know, in, you know, how we go about doing things until the owner says he's had enough of me.
Greg, if you're looking at this defense right now, are you thinking, okay, trade deadline's coming up and we're 1-6 and, you know, you got to go 5-5 to even end up winning 6 games this year the rest of the way. Are you thinking, we're bringing this back next year and tweaking it a little bit? Or are you making big moves and trying to get draft choices and get rid of some key guys? I like the idea of not trading away key guys because they're key for a reason. They're tough to replace.
Agreed. I think you hit a home run with what you just said there. And I think it's been out there that I've publicized this before. I think the world of Jim Schwartz. You know, he was on my staff back at the Tennessee Titans a long time ago, and I rose him up through the ranks, and I've been very proud of how he has gone about in his coaching career. And he was a part of back in 1999 when we started the wide nine and the way that we come off the ball and play at the defensive line position. I think he's maximized a lot of things there with the talent here, and I think the talent is good. He's got to continue, and we got to continue to improve the secondary, okay? And then the pass rush is amazing with what they're going to go about doing that, but we've got to get the ball to be held longer. And I think he's doing a really good job when you take a look at the analytics on how much man-to-man, how much mixture of zone, how much mixture of pressure is in there. But I would still be all in, you know, doing everything we can to keep these top defensive guys here and again, take the next step. I see them taking some risk right now because they have to. We're not putting enough points on the board to let us go get things. And you know what? When you're playing defense and coaching defense with a substantial 2 or more score lead on offense, then you let the dogs hunt. Then the dogs up front are hunting. But we don't do that. We've gone all year long and haven't scored 20 points in a game. Okay, and so now I see some things defensively, you know, that there's a little bit more risk-taking because we're trying to score on defense. We're trying to score on special teams to get that 2-scored lead so that we can hunt better on defense.
Hmm. Greg, I can't, like, really help me with this, okay? We've watched tackling that's been subpar all season long, maybe a little bit better on Sunday, but we're seeing a lot of missed tacklings. How can a team, an NFL team, get better at tackling as the season goes on? Or is this all just a byproduct of the way that training camps are softer maybe than they used to be, or guys just they're not hitting as hard as they can during practice to be able to come better?
You know, you make me the biggest smile on my face right now as I'm answering your questions, because that just totally pisses me off too, is when I'm seeing the lack of tackling and those type of things, not here, not just here. I'm talking about across the league.
Right.
Okay, and that comes from the foundation, okay, and the accountability that you, as the head coach, as the coordinators, as everything, understand this is how we're going to practice. And, you know, one of the things that we did here when the years that I was here, too, is that the players couldn't wait to get to a game because the game day was a hell of a lot easier than it was on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in practice because we were cutting it loose. We weren't tackling to the ground, but we were tackling every single day in circuit drills and, you know, all kinds of dummy things, and we were going full speed. This is hard for people to understand when there's only two tempos of practice in Greg Williams' mind. One is walkthrough, and second is F and go. Go! We don't have three-quarter speed, half speed, 6/18, 9/16 speed. We are going in practice. And when you cannot practice that way, then all of a sudden you're shocked on game day because you look like a slow-motion player. Okay, those kind of guys go up in the stands and sell beer. You know, you can't play in this league on defense without being a good tackling team.
That's classic. Greg, I don't know if anybody knows quarterbacks better than defensive coordinators who are tasked with stopping those guys. If it's not Deshaun Watson next year, would you think Jameis Winston or DTR is suitable to be a starting quarterback for this team next year and maybe beyond?
I haven't seen enough of DTR yet, personally, you know, because I have not had the competition in practice. When, you know, if I was there, I could make, you know, with a full speed practice and everything. I've gone against Jameson. I think Jameson can be a short term remedy. I don't think it's going to be a long term remedy. Okay. I think it can be a short-term remedy, but I think that if Deshaun is not the guy that they have back here because of cap reasons or whatever other excuses that people make is that, you know, I think it's Jameis, and I think what has to happen is that you better be looking, you know, in the draft and draft capital again about where you're going to have your long-term guy.
Greg, how do you walk into a locker room when you only have one win this deep in the season and try to make things go? I know we all talk about, well, I got to play for tape. But I don't mind hearing that week 16 or 17, but we're not even at the halfway point.
Well, you know, here's the thing is that, again, you bring up another great point is that how do you walk into a meeting? How do you walk into the training room? How do you walk into the equipment room? How do you walk into, you know, the walkthrough part of practice? Is that every single day is an interview, me to you, you to me. And first, if you want the players to do it, then you as the coach had better be interviewing very well too. They see and can smell BS 10 miles off, and they understand when I'm telling you this, I say what I mean what I say, and that everybody has to check their ego at the door. But we all have to be the best we can be today. And then stop making excuses. The irritating thing that I see out there right now is other people blaming other people for my performance, my personal performance. Hey, you're responsible for your own personal performance. This is professional sports. This isn't babysitting. This isn't high school, okay? This isn't club ball, okay? You have got to put yourself in the best position possible on film every day, and it starts with how you walk into the building and walk into the professional organization and how you endure all day long to get that opportunity to play that 3 hours inside the white lines on game day.
Greg, how close are you to coaching again? Are you getting? Are you doing a good job on the media stuff? But
oh, we like you there.
We love having you
love
there.
Love you on the sidelines.
You're way more fun on the sidelines.
Yeah, you love this. Is that with the right situation with the right people? Sure. I mean, I'll always do that. You know, because I love that. I'm a competitionaholic and love that part of being inside the white lines. But you know, I want to be with the right kind of people as opposed to, you know, always having to babysit, you know, certain types of people. And I think that there's some, you know, good situations that could come about. And if those do, I will. But I'm enjoying the fact of, you know, getting over onto the dark side with what you guys do with the media, and then also doing quite a bit of speaking and consulting and seminars with managing people. I've had the opportunity to speak at the White House, you know, the State Department, over 100 of the Fortune 500 companies, you know, all the different military academies. And I've had a chance to do all that type of stuff. So now I'm, you know, helping some other companies grow, staying busy doing that, and, you know, trying to get back into shape, back down to the old playing weight. Don't care how old I am, but I'm back to my old college playing weight, so I'm feeling good.
There you go. That's awesome. Hey, last night in the Tampa Bay game, there was an unfortunate incident in the final seconds of the game when Chris Godwin went down with what is believed to be a dislocated ankle. And Todd Bowles has been catching some grief. Why was the guy even on the field? Greg, it's a 10-point game. You can't – you tell me, what do you do as a coach? You're trying to win the football game, are you not?
You're trying to win the football game, and it's a 10-point game. Okay, that's his job. Unfortunately, you know, it could be a finable tackable is what I'm hearing, you know, a tackle. You know, they're talking about a possible hip drop on the tackle. You know, and I've tried to study it, and I've watched it, you know, in person last night and everything. It's an unfortunate injury, okay? But that's part of the game is when you step inside the white lines, okay, those kind of things can happen. And I cannot fault Todd Bowles for doing everything he can to get back in that game.
Mm. All right, hey, tell me about signing some stuff at Hall of Framers. That's the last thing we'll go before we go.
Well, the big thing is on November the 16th from noon to 2 at the Hall of Framers is a brand-new store in downtown Berea right next door to Mike's Bar and Grill. Is what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in there for the grand opening and do a bunch of autograph signing for fans and then also have a question and answer session and tell some stories. But I'm letting everybody know ahead of time right now on your show is that don't ask me a question that may hurt your feelings because I'm going to tell you the right answer. I'm not going to worry about hurting your feelings. I'm going to answer your question the way you asked the question. But it's going to be a fun experience. And I'm telling you all right now, Andrew Reimer owns that, and they just opened this store. It's like going through a Hall of Fame with all the different autographed items. He already has framed up everything. And all the people that you know, have collectibles and stuff. This is a fantastic place. And I'm taking a bunch of more of my stuff personally to him to put in my own man cave. And you'll love this. In my own man cave, the only signed jerseys that I have on the wall, and I've got 22 or 23 of them now, but you have to be an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback, NFL MVP, most valuable player quarterback that I kicked your ass. And so I had an opportunity to beat you. And then the only one that's not a quarterback on the wall is when I was up here and Jim Brown signed a jersey for me, and I have a Jim Brown jersey up that's on cool. the wall. Other than that, I've got all quarterbacks going all the way back to you know the late 80s, all the way up till now that are in the Hall of Fame. That I've had a chance to coach against.
That's awesome. Hey, Greg, what's the date again? Hall of Framers in Berea. What's the date? November?
It's November the 16th. It's Saturday and noon to 2. And please come out, you know, fans, because it's going to be a great experience. You go online on the Hall of Framers online right now and buy a ticket so that you won't be pushed out the door.
Outstanding. Greg, thank you. Thank you. And continued success with Get Some with Greg and Blake on Big Play as well. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
I appreciate that. And just like I break every show is, I say, ready, break, come get some.
Goodbye, Coach. Greg Williams on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Here's Hody with a 2020. Well, someone talk to him about it on Friday. We'll see how he feels about his Huskers today.
And the fact that we've gone this deep and haven't had a Dylan Raiola conversation with him yet is a little hurtful probably for him.
Probably.
That kid's rolling. That kid's legit.
Let me go back to what we were just talking about. Greg Williams joined us. If you missed any of that, you can always go to the Odyssey app. You can check it out on the Baskin and Phelps podcast. Anthony Castrovince was with us at noon. Mary Kay Cabot at 11 o'clock. What'd you think of what Greg had to say?
I love what Greg has to say.
What are you laughing about?
I mean, let's see. What did you think of Greg having what had to say?
You know, I saw him, you know, be a lot slower in his processing, a lot slower in his pass releases and doing the things that needed to be done. And out of me, I didn't see enough of him of the command of running the offense, meaning that, hey, when you see two guys in motion, stop them both. That's your job as a quarterback. You know, we're having too many pre-snap penalties on alignments, errors, and two guys in motion and all that kind of stuff. Well, the quarterback controls that.
He's right. Right? I say this all the time. Like, a coach could call any play in the world, and it's over after a fraction of a second. Mm-hmm. If it's not executed to perfection, and also understanding what the secondary reads are, third reads, all that stuff, making sure that you're on board with all that. But even once you go to the secondary read, you're like, well, primary, secondary. Primary didn't work. Got to go to second. No, maybe I can go back to the primary. I mean, so he's right. I mean, the quarterback is the offensive coordinator like a fraction of a second after you say hike. I've always thought that of every quarterback in the league.
Two things he said that I thought were really interesting. Number one, he didn't think that either Jameis or DTR was the long-term answer at quarterback.
You would kind of agree with that going in.
I would agree with that, yeah. But I think it's interesting. He thought Jameis might be a short-term fix, and he said, I'd start looking, you know. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, he'd have a longer contract if they thought it was a long-term fix, right? Yeah.
Well, but you weren't expecting him to be long-term when you signed him this year. You were expecting him to come in and be a backup for a year, you know. And now you need a starting quarterback. And Greg didn't think either guy was really the guy. And I also, I agreed with him. He agreed with me. Man, I'm not tearing down this defense. I'm not trading key members of this defense at the trade deadline. I'm keeping them, and I'm building with them next year. They're going to be part of this. And I don't think the defense, though not as good as last year, Andy, has not been the problem this year. We all know what the problem's been. You know, the offense has been ugh. And I'm not busting up what I think is a pretty good defense, just because the offense is, ugh, I'm going to try and fix the offense.
I think the only thing you're weighing is years, Jeff. That's the only thing you have to say to yourself is, okay, where are they in their career? How much longer are they going to play? You know, I'm a little concerned about Miles, his feet and what's going on there, and that wasn't an issue until this year, and then we finally found out what was really going on. So it might have actually been an issue, but we, for the first time, kind of know.
As long as he wants to be here, you're not moving him, are you?
I don't want to move him. No.
Good.
Why? You know,
I mean, you move Miles. What are you looking for, Myles Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for another one. So why would you go out and get? Yeah,
right. And what are the odds of finding one who's going to be with you for, you know, 9-10 years? Not very good.
Well, if somebody came up to me and said, "Here's 3 first round draft picks for him," I'd be like, "Okay."
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah,
but nobody's going to.
No. 2? Think somebody would give you 2 for him, Jeff?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
Maybe a 1 and a...
I think you're dreaming with a 1.
You don't think you can get a first-round draft pick for Myles Garrett?
Andy, the way that these teams covet these first-round draft choices, I think it's loony. I mean, is Miles worth a first-round draft choice? Heck yeah, he's worth 2. He's worth maybe 3. He's that good. But these teams treat these first-round picks, you know, like you just robbed Fort Knox or something, man. It's just... I don't think you
get a first-round pick for him. I got to believe somebody would give him a first-round pick.
I don't know.
Especially if you're a good team looking to add and knowing that your first-round pick is later in the first round.
Yeah, well, then is it worth it for the Browns?
No, that's the other problem. So you'd have to get 2 or a second, first and a second maybe. I don't. Dan, what do you think his value is?
Or just keep him and put him at defensive end and call it a day.
I agree, but what do you think his value is? Like,
you get a first for him easy because you don't have to pay him. He's already been paid. I mean, it's a first. So like Brian Burns was the one that popped into my head. Okay, the pass rusher for the Giants.
Right.
Was previous with the Panthers. He was traded last year for a second round pick and then a 5th round pick as well, but he needed a contract. In the same way with like the Montez Sweat trade that was made at the trade deadline last year. I think that was a second or a third? I think it was a second, but I'm doing this off the top of my head, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. But he also needed to be paid. The fact that Miles is paid and can step in and help you now, I think it's easily a first, and I think you can even get a second, too, if you want.
Second for Montez.
I don't think that's
possible.
Was
it a Montez Sweat?
Yeah, okay. Second.
I don't think that would happen.
Jim is in Strongsville. Hey, Jim.
Nor do I want to find out if it could happen.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff. Listen, while I agree with your sentiment, here's the issue with what you're talking about. You were always on a clock. You paid this your quarterback so much money. You were always on a clock. So while it might be great, well, let's just run it back. Okay, then what money? Where are you going to find the money to fix your offensive line? Maybe bring a receiver. Then you can't do it. It's not sustainable. Plus, you got to replace all these guys on 1-year deals. Which brings me to what you guys had said. I agree with you on consistency. I'll be honest with you. Andrew Berry should probably be let go after the trade deadline. And I say that for this reason. He hasn't drafted well. And guess what, guys? You got to draft well. Whether or not he was the driving force behind it or not, the Deshaun Watson trade happened on his watch. He's the one that rushed to extend Deshaun, push Deshaun Watson's money back at a time when we were all like, why are we pushing his money? Why are we adding years to this thing? You have the Conklin deal. There's way too many things. He has not been good enough at bringing in his own talent. And then he's been hit or miss on the decisions that he's made when it's come to either extending veterans or bringing guys in. He still hasn't brought a wide receiver in. You're looking at this offseason that most of the talent on this roster, probably the top 4 or 5 guys on this roster, he didn't draft them. They didn't come from him. And I'm sorry, when you start adding up all of those negatives after 5 years, that's enough negatives to say, sorry, buddy, you know what? You've had your chance. You haven't been able to draft. Too many bad decisions that are going to come are coming back to haunt this team now. I just think, the crows are coming home. They're coming back to roost, guys. You knew it was going to happen, and now's the time when it's going to happen. So while I agree with you guys, it's time to take your medicine. I mean, I just don't know any other way around
it. Jim, thank you. Appreciate it. Listen, here's the reason why he isn't, why you wouldn't be, because you're doing this in groupthink. That's why. That the owner, the head coach, the general manager, the consultant, they're all on the same page, and they've all kind of said, okay, we'll do this. And to pick out one and say, okay, you're gone because I need a scapegoat, I don't know that they play that game anymore.
I would think that's what Jim laid out, though, is a conversation that ownership will have.
Yeah. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps.